greet you all in the name of our Lord, and before we open his word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled together in this morning, and we give thee thanks for this opportunity. We give thee thanks for the calmness and the quietness that we have here in the sanctuary. As we gather together, Lord, we have gathered in thy name. Thy presence is assured. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive the word as thou hast left it, a word of instruction and the word that gives us life and that eternal. We pray, Lord, that each of us would be ready to receive, that our thoughts would be centered on thee, Lord, in this morning as we worship thee, as we honor thee, and we give thee thanks, praise, and adoration, for thou art worthy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, I desire to read from the 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. I desire to begin with verse number 10 to the end. Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 10. Ljubav za želim da se pročita iz druge poslanice Korinčanima, 5. glava, početak od 10. broj. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May God bless our reading. Let us kneel. The Apostle Paul, as he's ready to put his pen down and knowing that he is giving his life, the emperor was after him and he had sentenced him to death. He was in the dungeon, he was cold, and he's writing letters and he's reminiscing on his life, his service, his faithfulness to his God. And in that letter to Timothy, he speaks of two men, both Christians. He says, Luke is with me. And he says, Demas hath forsaken me. He loved this present world more. So we have two men who knew the Apostle Paul, knew his service, knew his life, his devotion. We're partners with him, fellow believers. Both will stand in the judgment seat of Christ, as we have read here. Both are going to come to this judgment seat. But from what I read, that Demas loved the world more than he loved the Lord, it's not going to be well with Demas in the judgment. And so today, dear ones, we, each one of us here, as we sit, some are Christians, born again, converted. Some believe and are not yet ready to forsake the world because we love the world more than we love Christ. And every one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The previous verses speak of the tabernacle of this flesh being clothed upon and so on. And it chose to pick up this reading just because of the impact of verse number 10, as it tells us that we will all appear before the judgment seat. Imagine if we think about every one of us that are here right now. And I often think about this. Even last Wednesday, we read a portion of Scripture where it talked about upon the appearance of Christ, so that we do not appear ashamed, or so that he isn't ashamed of us to call us his own. And so we stand before a judgment. It says to receive the things done in his body. That means the life that I lived, the life that you lived, we were going to receive, whether it's good or bad, for what we have done. Demas will receive. Luke will receive that which he has done. There's a judgment seat. Today there's a mercy seat that is being offered for all of us to approach the seat of mercy, where Jesus Christ has given himself for us, given us his life, and we can choose. We can choose the mercy seat today so that we can stand in confidence before the judgment seat of Christ. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And this is perhaps a verse that we don't like to even consider. The terror of the Lord, the wrath of God, that doesn't even... I'd rather hear about the love of God. And God is so love. He is love. That is how he is described, as a God of love, a God who loved us so much. And he created us to have fellowship with him. And that was broken, that fellowship was broken by sin. And so we have to understand the ugliness of sin and how it separates us from our Creator. And because he is love, he gave his Son. He hath made him, he made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How fair is that? That Christ came, who knew no sin, and he took our sin upon him. He became sin. So that the wrath of God, of a just God, for the sin that I have committed and that you have committed would be placed upon my Savior. And he would die. He would suffer that separation from God so that you and I would not have to. And he gives us his righteousness. Are we flippant about this? He gave me his robes of righteousness because my robes, your robes, are filth, rags, dirty, sin-stained. And so imagine as we have all assembled here together today, some of us, can we say this? I hate to say it. I hate to think it, but I often think it. Will every one of us inherit eternal life and live with Christ forever? Will any of us be cast into hell to suffer a fire that never ends? Where Jesus speaks of it as a place of torment that will never end. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he says, one of you are going to forsake me. One of you. There was 12 of them. Imagine one of 12 is the devil. The devil, he is in the devil. The devil has power, complete power over him. He is his. He's given himself over unto the works of darkness. And we would say, well, how? You know, Judas still walked with Christ along the way. Judas still walked and preached and taught as he was sent two by two into cities and so on. He still did God's work. He was the devil's. He belonged to Satan. Jesus said, one of you has a devil. Is it I? Now, we have more than 12 here. But if we just heard, one of you are going to go to hell, one of you has a devil in you, what are we going to do? But what if we say, one will be saved? One will be saved. Now what do we do? What are my chances now? Because what I'm quickly going to do is have a quick reflection and a quick examination of my life. And it will be in light of the Word of God. I will look at the Word and I will look at my life. One is going to be saved. Dear ones, we will all go before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for what we have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, he says, we persuade men. What does Hebrews tell us? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? Why would it be fearful? When we ignore him or dismiss his word or dismiss his life, even as the brother mentioned in the prayer, the life of Christ, what it was in all his humility, self-sacrifice, giving of self. And he says, learn of me and follow me. Can I look at my life? Can you look at your life and say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ? I can say that. He says, the love of God, the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That means all of us were dead in sin, trespasses, and in sin. All of us were. And Christ died so that each one of us would have, his love extends to every one of his creation. God is not a respecter of persons as you and I are. We easily become respecters of person. We automatically are known to look at something better as something more someone more respectful, and so on. We quickly become a respecter of person. God is not that. He is not like we are. He looks at every man, and he looks at the gospel that was preached to him, his understanding of who Christ is. Did he hear of Christ and not care about him, not care to learn more about him? Dismissed him, dismisses his life, a life of self-sacrifice, modesty. And so we go to the verse, dear ones, that Paul uses so often. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, Paul spoke of that more than any, being in him. Dear ones, none of us say that we are in anyone. We might know someone, but to be in Christ, it speaks of something entirely different. As Noah was in the ark, as the judgment waters came down, they fell upon the ark. They fell upon the ark, but those who were in were saved. The judgment waters fell upon all mankind, those who rejected the teaching, the preaching of Noah. For over 100 years, they heard that there is a judgment day that is coming. You today didn't hear it for 100 years. You don't have to. You hear it one time. If you dismiss it, there is a judgment day that is coming. Are you in Christ? Because the judgment of God fell upon him. If we are in him, they fell upon him, and we are saved in Christ. We are outside of him. We will be judged according to our own works. What we have done, how we have lived, how we have rejected him, how he meant nothing to me. But what does it mean to be in Christ? He says he is a new creature, a new creation. You know, Naaman washed in the waters of the Jordan, and he was dipped 7 times, and he was healed of his leprosy, but he wasn't a new man. He wasn't a new creation. As Nicodemus was taught and showed by Christ, that you must be born again, you must become a new creation, a new creature. And what does a new creature look like? He says, old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. I've been given the divine nature of God. That means my human nature has to go away. Old things are passed away. Dear ones, is that a reflection of my life? Is that a reflection of your life? When I assess and examine myself, as Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith that you claim. You claim I am a Christian, as Demas did. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith that you profess. Everything must become new. I can't have... There's no way that in Christ that we cannot be transformed. There's no way. Because we're saying he has no power to change me then. Rather than look at my own heart and say, I love the world more than I love Christ, I'm going to say, he is powerless to change me. He created me to love these things, to lust, to love wealth, to be proud. He created that in me. How am I going to eradicate that? And so we justify the old things that must pass away. We justify them. It doesn't say in the Bible that I don't have to do this or that I have to do this. And we look at the meekness of Christ and it means nothing to us. He came as your creator and my creator, and he was the meekest of men. Yes, meeker than the meekest one of us. Meeker than Moses. Meeker than anyone that ever walked this earth. He was God in the flesh, and he became man, and he was the meekest of men. What do I learn from him and his life? Has everything become new in me? If I am, he says, if any man be in Christ, then you are a new creation, a new creature. If you look at your life and you say, I am not a new creation and a new creature, then I am not in Christ. That means I have wandered off the path. The question is this, because we all will come short of the glory of God. We all will sin as believers. The question is, when I am on that narrow road and I sin, how do I sin? Just by being proud? Just by thinking I'm better than you? I have sinned. By being a respecter of persons, I have sinned. And I say, wow, that's not a big deal. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an idolater. I don't blaspheme. I'm good. There's men far worse than me. See, we don't know Christ. If we dismiss any sin in our life, we don't know him. And we don't know the ugliness of that sin. And that very sin caused our Lord to go on the cross and die for us, so that we could be redeemed and reconciled unto God. Being an ambassador for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, just think about being an ambassador one for another. Will we fall short? That's not who I am. You're representing me. That's not who I am. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. How can you have anything old in you? How can you still retain the old man, the pride, the lust for wealth, for power, for anything? How can you hold on to that and be an ambassador for Christ, representing him to the lost and dying world? Why is Christianity looked upon and mocked so much by the world? Rightfully so. Rightfully so. When you look at Christianity, let's look at our own life. Can I be an ambassador to someone who is lost, who knows my life? Can I be an ambassador? Paul said, look at me. As I am a follower of Jesus Christ, you also be imitators of me. Can you say that? Can you open your heart to me and tell me who you are in your entirety, who you are, and then say, follow me. Give me your Google reports. Give me your iPad. Give me your iPhones. Give me your home computers. Let me see everything. Where you go, what you do. And then say, follow me. New. All things are become new. Meaning those things are gone. Those things are passed away. I am a new creation in Christ. I am saved by Christ. I am in him. Paul says, speaking he says, for by the law of the Spirit of life, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, okay? So there's a new law in Christ. It is a Spirit of life with a capital S, Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That is being in Christ, free of sin and death. So that means when I do wander, and I did, in a moment, I failed. I had a thought. I became a respected person. I had a thought that wasn't God-pleasing. That's sin. I immediately recognized that. I recognize that. And now, and because I am dead to sin, I come back to my Lord, and I ask him for forgiveness, and I plead with him, and he forgives me because he loves me. And and I've come back to him. But to be, that is being dead to sin. That is having victory over sin. I recognized immediately when I have wandered, and Christ went out and searched me out and brought me back. But when I justify who I am, oh, the Bible doesn't say that. Does it explicitly say that I'm not allowed to smoke? Your temple it houses the Spirit of God. Know you not, Paul says, know ye not that your temple or your body is the temple of the living God? Christ Jesus. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that I can't smoke or whatever. We're going to insert anything we want in there. Have I put away that old man? Or do I give myself? Well, it doesn't say it. I can do it. Christ knows. He knows I still love him. How? How? When he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How will the world know that you love him if you don't keep his commandments? And that's why Christianity is mocked. I mean, wars are fought. Men died because of Christianity. Christians fight Christians in wars through the ages, trying to get someone to conform to their way, as Christ's way is ignored. Because when we look at the life of Christ, dear ones, there's not one of us that are sitting here. When we look at, if we want to know him, if we want to know him, and we learn of him, and we follow him, there's not one of us here that can be boastful in anything. Yet Paul was able to say, be ye followers of me. So, dear ones, what does it mean to us when we read a word such as this? We will either leave here, we were exposed to just this one verse, 17, just being exposed to this verse. If we can all walk out of here, heads lifted high, I'm good. We didn't come here to worship him. We didn't come here to worship him. But when we look at this and say, Lord, show me through your example. See, he's not going to speak to me in the sense of you did this or this. You know what you did. You know how you live. You know how you've dismissed his law. You know. The important thing is, let me examine that in light of thy word, in light of who you are, Lord, who you've revealed to me, and let me then see, am I an ambassador, a representative of Christ Jesus, my Lord? Dear ones, we know that ambassadors come ambassadors of foreign countries, ambassadors of kings, and they come with a message from the king, from the government. That's what the prophets did. That's what the prophets did. They came to bring a message from God. They were ambassadors of God. And that's what the disciples did, the apostles. Through the ages, God had those who were his ambassadors, who delivered precisely what he taught them. And so, dear ones, today, that falls on every one of us who claim to be a Christian. You can't dismiss that responsibility. If you dismiss it, you don't belong to him. How can you be a representative of someone, yet you don't represent him? That means you don't know him. You don't belong to him. And so let's look at our life. Is it representative? Is it representative of a life of Christ, my Savior? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, it was only through Christ that those sins will not be imputed, our trespasses will not be imputed unto us when we are in him. And so, dear ones, if we look at this verse once again, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I think all of us understand what all means. If there is 100 things, and we say all of them are mine, that means all 100 belong to me. Not 99. 100. All. So, dear ones, all things are passed away. That means when I lived under sin, under its power, when I lived under the power of sin, I was a slave to that sin. That means when I was tempted, I sinned. When I was tempted, I sinned. When I was tempted, I sinned. I was a slave to that sin. When I am in Christ, all things, old things are passed away. All things, that means all the old things have become new. Now, when I do sin, I recognize it immediately, but I don't have to sin. I no longer have to sin. I am not a slave to it. I am dead to it. However, because we have this flesh with us, we will have a wayward thought. We will have a wayward reaction to someone who might come to us and tell us, hey, brother, your behavior, what you're doing, what you're wearing, what you're buying, how you're representing Christ, it comes short. If I react in a way that is prideful, I've sinned. And rather than take that as a message from God, I take it as, who is he to tell me? And that's pride. And yet we claim Christ, that we know him, that we are in him. In him, we are free of the judgment. We'll be judged as Luke will be judged, who stayed with Paul. And there are those who are outside of Christ, you already lie under judgment. You already are judged right now. You are not in Christ. The judgment is on you. You decided not to take your sins and lay them on Christ and take his righteousness that he is offering you. You'd rather face the wrath of God. And brothers and sisters, when we ignore his commandments, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. So as we contemplate, dear ones, we will all leave here. We will all leave here, and we will leave either convicted to make a change or dismiss it. I've been baptized. Christ forgives me. And so you see, once again, as the Word tells us, and I've shared many times, everyone wants to be justified. And we are justified by the blood of Christ. He died for us. This is that reconciliation. Through the precious blood of the Lamb, we are justified. And we all want to be glorified. As Christ is glorified when he ascended unto the Father, he is glorified. We all want that. I want to be justified. I want to be glorified. Because you know what that requires of me? If I just say those things, nothing. Christ died. He shed his blood. I'm justified. I'm glorified. I've died. I'm in his presence. But there's that in-between time that is me and you, our lives, to be sanctified. And this is what it means to be sanctified. All things are become new. All old things are passed away. I'm sanctified. I'm set aside. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I am his. He is mine. I live for him. I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of him. And dear ones, it's becoming, even within our own churches, that we become ashamed. We're being shamed. We're being shamed to preach Christ and to teach Christ and show the simplicity, the meekness of who Christ is. So we live in extremely dangerous times, as has been throughout all the ages. Just because we live in a refined world now where everything is just so much easier and so on, Satan is still the same roaring beast. He's still the same one. And imagine just choosing him. Choosing him over love, Christ, meekness. And so, dear ones, as Paul says, let us examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Let's do that in light of his word. You're not going to have that through conversations, getting opinions. We can get each other's opinions. Opinions mean nothing unless they're based on the scripture. And that is no longer an opinion. That is the truth of God's word. So let's open his word and let's open our hearts. And he will show us. He is faithful. He is faithful. He will show you. And he will show me what a life in Christ means. That's why he said, learn of me and follow me. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.